I told you last week, I mentioned the, you know, of course, I had a whole mess of granddaughters born. If I have any more grandchildren in the next decade, they'll all be girls, too. So we already, there's clarity already there. But we love girls. We know that they're coming. And Ted Manziel is going to coach me as to how to deal with a bunch of granddaughters. What do you think, Ted? And I also shared, I think, for me, the most powerful moments in the last decade. Really, there were two of them, and they're a tie. And one of them was a girl that I baptized at my last church in her early 20s who didn't know Jesus and gave her life to Christ, and it was just a powerful moment. The other one was a girl I baptized right here at Hope Church a few weeks back. I'm really thankful for you, Samantha, and God bless you, and sharing your testimony was pretty cool. So those are the two greatest things that have happened in my life in the last 10 years, honestly. To get to be with someone as they take a step of faith is a pretty powerful thing, don't you think? Yeah. Now what I want you to do is I want you to take your hands like this, okay? Kind of cup them up, and I want you to think of 2019. The good, the bad, the ugly. And then I want you to open your hands and just let it go. Let it go. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your infinite love, your wisdom, your kindness, which is better than life. Oh God, we thank you for getting us through so many trials and tribulations over the last decade. We also acknowledge there were trials and tribulations that we did not walk through successfully because bad things happened, and yet we continued to walk, and maybe that's success. I just ask, oh God, that whatever the hard parts were, that you would help us to let it go. Where we are harboring bitterness about something in the last decade, God, help us let it go. Because we need to forgive our debts so you will forgive ours. And we need to forgive those who debt against us, who sin against us too. Let it go. For those of you who feel really, really blessed, let those blessings go, but with thanksgiving. Because we know there are so many blessings to come. So many things to come. And we ask you, oh God, to guide us in the days ahead. Lord, we want this church to touch many, many lives. We want to personally involve, each person here wants to be involved in touching a life, helping to reach one. And I just ask you, oh God, to invite you to help us do that. That you would open doors. God, this church is not here for the sake of a building, but for reaching out. The building is a tool, God. It is painted up and cleaned up only for the sake of being a great place to be hospitable to others. Because we want them, oh God, to be touched by you. Father, we give the new year to you. We give the country to you, and the world to you, and the challenges ahead to you. We don't really want any of those things anyway, God. We give them to you. Thank you that you will carry them. And I ask that you'd continue to lead us as we worship together. And we ask this in the name of the one who taught us to pray together, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you wondered what the beep was in the background, every 30 seconds I'm over it beeps, okay? I'm just letting you know. Kenrick, ready to lead us in another song? Thank you. Kenrick reminded me, this is the point of the service. We also pass the offering baskets. They will come to your table, and I see Bill, and I see Ben. There we go. And be sure you all get to all the tables.
We did the song just a couple months ago here at Second Service, and the chorus is very simple, almost repetitive. It just says, "You are good, good. Oh, oh, you are good." And I found in the last year, as I've thought about reviewing my life and where God has led me, that sometimes it's the most difficult thing to even say or to sing. That despite what we're going through, we can still sing, "You are good." And so every time I hear this song, and especially when I'm going through something really dark, or really hard, really chaotic, I just sing this song, reminding myself and declaring over my life that He is still good. So I invite you to sing this song.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. 'Cause You are good, good. Oh, 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 let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. 'Cause You are good, good. Oh, 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 oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let. Sing that again. Oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. 'Cause You are good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh.
Amen. From the last decade, I can tell you, God has blessed me in a lot of ways. But in this last year, I'm thankful for my latest Craigslist find, who is Kenrick. That's where we found Kenrick. Where'd you get him? Craigslist. Yes. Believe it or not, I have found 3 worship leaders in a row on Craigslist. No one ever believes me. But that is where we connected, isn't it, Kenrick? Yeah, thank you. A witness, yes. And what a blessing he's been as an addition to our church. I want you to hear these words as we kind of wrap up. We wrap up Christmas. Not that we really want to ever wrap it up, because for us it doesn't stop. Every day it is Christmas in Bethlehem. Every day it is Christmas for those who walk with Jesus, really. because he surrounds us with gifts. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. You're not going to see it on the screen because I didn't give it to him. Verse 2 says simply, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with righteousness and justice from that time on and forevermore. And how will all this happen? The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The one who is Wonderful and Counselor, we celebrate his birth. You know, there's about three Sundays in a year that are really, generally, you can just pick ahead that aren't going to be well attended, right? Sunday after Easter, Sunday after Thanksgiving, and the Sunday after Christmas. And yet, here we are together because you all know that he still reigns and he still loves you, and you are here to worship him. And that's a good thing because we don't forget. We don't forget. I'm going to conclude this little series now that I've seen him. And you probably have every word I have said over the last month memorized because you are so faithful. And the reason I know that is because if I misquote a scripture or something, you straighten me out because you got those words memorized. So no, you don't really. But over the last month, we talked about the reality of Jesus being born in a stable in Bethlehem, nearby shepherds hanging out and watching their sheep and coming to worship him. And finally, we get to the point where we do have slides for this. It says in Luke 2, verses 10 to 12, and an angel went to the shepherds and said simply, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And as they're in the middle of hearing that, suddenly there's this great company of angelic folks there, a choir, and they are singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Sometimes people, I've heard over the years, people say about more contemporary music that there's just really a few words, and you just kind of repeat them. I think this was the first contemporary Christian song then. "Glory to God in the highest," the angels sang again and again and again and again. And the shepherds were quite naturally awestruck, and so they went to see the thing that had happened. And they, according to Luke 2:17 and 18, said simply, the shepherds spread word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds. Amazing, really. Amazing. And Mary, as we know, just reflected on what happened. She just kind of took it all in. But it's interesting, after Jesus was 8 days old, as you probably know, they took him to the rabbi, the local rabbi, and the rabbi blessed him. It was the eighth day, the purification, and his name was given, Jesus, which was the name the angel gave him. The typical name would be to call him his dad's name. He was the oldest son. And also, the rabbi blessed him, and they were pretty faithful folks. 40 days after Jesus was born, it was time for the purification of his mother and the dedication of him, and they brought him to the temple for the redemption of the firstborn. If you had a firstborn, it belonged to God, especially a firstborn son. So, okay, God, I finally have this child. Here you go. Pretty tough. But actually, I think they meant it. As they were there, they tripped over first a guy named Simeon, who led by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit said, you're going to see my Messiah today if you will just come to the temple. And he shows up at the temple. Of course, he was there all the time. And he saw the Christ face to face. Isn't that something? Let's pass the baby from person to person. And Simeon, he's the one I've been waiting for. Now I can die, really. And on that day, he held the baby and he spoke this prayer. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother, they just kind of marveled about what was said about him. They marveled. They had heard it before. The angel had told them who he was. Obviously, miraculous. Everything about it is miraculous. But isn't it good when you get a confirmation again for what has been told to you? you know, it helped me so much as I was preparing for ministry that people on occasion would say, I can really see you doing that. An affirmation. We need to give those kind of things. And they heard this confirmation a second time, and that was really, really a good thing. I can just see Simeon, and he's looking at this baby. And then he said, this child, this is Luke 2, 34 and 35, is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This child will be a separation line, really. People will see him and they will have to decide, is he or isn't he really the Son of God? Nothing has changed since those days. And by the way, Mary, a sword is going to pierce your soul. Merry Christmas. God bless you. There was also a prophetess, a prophet there at the temple, 84 years old. She'd been a widow for a long, long time. And she could see something special in the child, and she talked about the child to everyone that had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The words of Simeon and Mary are important even today, because they have the capacity to pierce the soul. And when they see the baby, they must respond in one way or another, and respond they do. And then the Magi come about. I shared with you last week, they probably weren't just three. There was probably a whole bunch of them. And they were officials in the king's government. They were considered wise men. They could see the future looking at the stars. And they knew a child was going to come, and they had to do something about it. And so they went to Herod and they asked the question, where is this one who's been born king of the Jews? Because we saw his star. We've come to worship him. And so they asked the teachers of the law, and according to Matthew 2:8, they said, go and search carefully for the child, and you will find him. And where would they find him? They'd find him in Bethlehem, according to the teachers of the day. And Herod said, when you find him, report back to me, because I want to worship him. Now, Herod is a tricky guy. This is not a Bible good guy. Yeah, we know of him as Herod the Great because he was a great builder. But honestly, on coming to the house, it says in Matthew 2, verse 11, they find the house. They saw the child with his mother. They bowed down and worshiped him. Wouldn't that make a parent think something a little bit interesting if people are coming down and worshiping their baby? I mean... And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Valuable things. Valuable things. The most valuable things on earth. And they bowed down. Paul says in Philippians 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They did what everybody needs to do. And then it's very, very interesting. They left town by another road. We're not going to head back and tell Herod what we've seen, because God is leading us to leave town by another road. Having seen him, they couldn't. They had to travel a different road. It's just interesting. Jerusalem was suddenly out of the way, even though it wasn't out of the way. Herod had asked the wise men to come back, but but the Holy Spirit led them otherwise. And maybe I've mentioned this, Herod was not a nice guy. He had three of his kids killed and one of his wives because he saw them as a threat. At one point, he executed 300 officers because he saw them as a threat. And he realized that when he died, no one would be sad. This is so interesting to me. And so because of their lack of sadness, he decided to have all the people that were important in the country arrested, so that on the day he died, they would be executed too, so that the nation would be sad. Isn't that interesting? I mean, this is not a nice man. This is not a nice man at all. And so he was outwitted by the Magi, and it's interesting. Now, they are still in Bethlehem. Most scholars believe it was a year or two, and they probably found something, as I heard someone say, more stable than a stable. Come on now, I thought that was funny. You know, oh, thank you. Thank you, Chris, or Nick in the front row. Thank you. I always take seriously anyone who's wearing reindeer antlers with, you know. Why don't you stand up and not bow so everybody can see your antlers? Nick, go ahead. You're the one that clapped. There, aren't they nice? Okay, go ahead. Yes, there we go. And then, as they're there, the Holy Spirit leads them, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. And this is kind of a stretch of time we don't know much about, because we don't really know what he was up to. But the Spirit said, get out of here. Why? Because Herod was afraid, because this baby was born, king of the Jews, that somebody was threatening his kingship, and so he had all the babies, two and under, all boy babies in the Bethlehem vicinity murdered. You know the story. Most scholars think it was probably a couple of dozen. I mean, Bethlehem was a small town. But what a horrible thing to do. But the Holy Spirit said, get out, get out. Go to Egypt. I heard about a kid the other day. You're going to appreciate this. After the Sunday after Christmas, he was in Sunday school, and he got out of Sunday school, and his mother said, so, son, what'd you learn today? Well, he showed her a picture. It was a big airplane, 747, I guess. And in the windows were some pictures of some people, and she said, well, who are those people? And she said, the boy said to her, that is Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus on their flight to Egypt. And then she said, and who's that up in front? And the kid said, Mom, don't you know anything? That's Pontius Pilate, you know. I don't know if that's really a true story or not, but centuries before this, Hosea had said these words, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. It's also referring to Jesus. And the child grew to be strong and filled with wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was upon him. That's what it says in Luke 2:40. What a great thing. The grace of God is upon him. It's interesting. Maybe you remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, very, very, very old, been together for a very long time, no kids, and all of a sudden, an angel says to Zechariah, you're going to be a dad, and he can't believe it. And he says, how do I know this is true? Give me a sign. And I think the angel was annoyed because he said to Zechariah, okay, here's your sign. You won't be able to speak. You're not going to say it right anyway, so you can't talk. How many of you wish your husbands would have that little, well, anyway. you can't speak. Here's a sign. Yes, you're going to have a child. You won't be able to speak. And then the child, we know as John the Baptist was born, they were presenting him to the rabbi and naming him. And they said, what do you want to name this child? And his mother said, we want to name him John. And people in the crowd said, wait a minute, dad is Zechariah. You got to have Zechariah Jr., right? And she said, we'll name him John. And they wrote, or they asked, what do you want to name him to his dad? And they handed him a little tablet, and he wrote on it, I want to name him John, because that's what God said. John, the one who would prepare the way of the Lord, you know. And he wrote the name John. That's Luke 1:63. And immediately he began to talk, and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak, or to speak praising God. He got it right. And John's ministry, John, a little older than Jesus, just months, was to prepare the way for the one who was coming, was to prepare his way. And he went to the outskirts of the countryside in Galilee, and he stood by the Jordan River, and he told everyone, it's time to change your ways, because this Messiah is right at hand. And then instead of having an altar call, he had a river call. He invited anyone who wanted to commit to God to come down to the river, and he baptized them, which is really, really cool. Really cool. I can tell you that would be a significant event, because the water in that river is really, really cold. Really cold. And people came, and they already made a decision. And John was always talking about this Messiah, and one day he's passing Jesus in a crowd, and he knew who Jesus was, and he said simply, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You don't say that about everybody who passes your who passes in front of you. And I don't know if they knew each other. They were cousins. Maybe they did, maybe it was by reputation, but the Holy Spirit spoke. And sometime later, again talking about Jesus, he simply said, he must increase and I must decrease. By the way, I hope that's what happens in all of our lives in the next decade. He increase and I decrease. It not only give us joy, it'll give us power. So what does the Christmas story tell us? Why do we start with John the Baptist, you know? What do we learn? The point is, once we've seen him, we got to do something about it. And I gave you several things in the back of your bulletin if you choose to follow along. And what it tells us, first, when Herod sees Jesus, what does he do? He orders a murder of babies. Isn't that something? The shepherds say, now that I've seen him, I want to give glory to God, tell others about him. The wise men, they want to offer him a gift. And they want to worship him. When you see him, what do you say? Mary said, I treasure this moment. I treasure these things in my heart. And I glorify God. And I tell others what I have seen. And Simeon, he says, now my life is complete. I can die. I've seen what I've waited for. Let thy servant depart in peace. Anna said, I want to encourage others by telling the story. And as I said a moment ago, John said simply, he must increase and I must decrease. I've told you the story of Jesus. Having heard the story, it's now you have to respond one way or another. I mean, that's just what happens. Will you respond the way John did, or will you respond the way Herod did? And as you've heard the story, you've learned a couple things. First of all, God does not choose. God does not choose to love people who are just powerful. And he is not an elitist. He can choose anyone And he has a place for you. Those facts. He can choose anyone. And that's good news. The second thing is you really have three choices. You can embrace him. You know, if you can, he came to save you of your sins. And if you are a mess, honestly, he can straighten you out. You can embrace him, you can reject him, you can let him straighten you out. Those are the choices. I want to say a little prayer with you about those choices. And I was thinking of those baptisms I did the last year. If you want to be baptized before this decade's over, you best come find me, because I'll find some water before we're even out of here, okay? Why don't we bow our heads and pray? Maybe a prayer for the end of the year, the beginning of a new decade. Why don't you repeat after me, everyone? Lord Jesus, take away my sins. Take control of my life. You must increase. I must decrease. All that I have, I surrender to you today. Father, you have heard those prayers, and I just ask that you would receive them. And I know we're all in a different place of surrender, but God, may we all be about surrendering our life to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.